Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Friday, 26th of April, 2024, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news, we got sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person this evening. Seven arrests, a raid and investigations into King Gaming. Charities have faced onerous delays after new rules introduced. Braddon commissioners say they're paying for the traffic lights. The Guild starts tomorrow morning and the final Ravens game of the season tomorrow evening at the Bowl.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. First of my Chanel Suku.
First of my. Police say seven arrests have been made as part of a fraud and money laundering investigation in relation to King Gaming Limited. Officers executed a series of warrants on business premises on Victoria Road and Bucks Road in Douglas on Wednesday. The Department of Home Affairs says there are no current plans to consider introducing Sarah's Law on the Isle of Man. It's after a campaign was launched hoping to bring the legislation to the island. And a union representing taxi drivers on the island says it fully supports the newly implemented tariff charges. Tariff 1 has gone up by 30p, while Tariff 2 has risen by 40p. In international news, Scottish Labour says the issue of Hamza Yousaf stepping down as First Minister is a matter of when, not if. Colleagues will vote on a no-confidence motion next week. Former Post Office Executive Angela van der Bogaerts admitted the company offered the family of a sub-postmaster who took his own life compensation if they dropped claims against them. Martin Griffiths died in 2013 after being pursued for alleged shortfalls of £60,000. And Katie Price has been told she faces arrest if she misses future bankruptcy hearings without a reasonable excuse. A judge says reasons given today were scanty. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you. Chanel from the Ronald's Way Met Office. No wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is smooth or slight. The weather this evening, it's a nice evening, dry and sunny with clear spells. It will cloud over overnight. Chance of some showers developing. Overnight minimum 3 degrees Celsius. For tomorrow, Saturday, dry and sunny with a light to moderate easterly, turning northerly late afternoon. Daylight maximum 11, down to 5 through the night. And Jaduni, dry with sunny intervals and a light to moderate west-northwest wind. Top temperature 12 degrees. Tides on the way out. Low water 2 minutes to 8 tonight. Sunset 18 minutes before 9. High tide 10 to 2 a.m. Sunrise 12 minutes before 6. And the morning low tide 21 minutes past 8.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Seven arrests have been made and business premises raided as part of a fraud and money laundering investigation into King Gaming Limited. The story from Lewis Foster.
Officers say they executed a series of warrants on business premises on Victoria Road and Bucks Road in Douglas on Wednesday. Yesterday, we heard how the Isle of Man Gambling Supervision Commission had suspended the licences of King Gaming and Dalmine Limited this week, pending a criminal investigation. Well, in an update from the Isle of Man Constabulary this morning, they say a number of people found on the premises at Victoria Road were subject of further immigration interviews involving the Isle of Man Immigration Services, and those inquiries are ongoing. King Gaming is currently developing a campus-style headquarters at the former Cunningham Holiday campsite in Douglas near to Victoria Road, which is due to include live-in accommodation for employees. Over the last year, construction has been taking place on the site, which is described as one of the biggest private sector investments on the island. In a statement today, police say inquiries are being conducted conducted in close liaison with partners within the island's AML/CFT regulatory and intelligence network to fully investigate these matters. But at this time, the constabulary will not be making any further comment. Meanwhile, a firm which has shared directors and officers with the King Gaming Group of Companies has been told to suspend all designated business. The Isle of Man Financial Services Authority has issued a written direction to Soteria Solutions Limited, a virtual currency business. The FSA too says it's unable to comment further at this time.
After another roller coaster over the last 9 months, FC Isle of Man's latest NWCFL Premier Division campaign comes to an end this weekend. They're going to host Lower Breck in a rearranged tie at the Bowl tomorrow night. So what will the Ravens manager Paul Jones' message be to players in this season finale?
Enjoy it, you know, make the most of the opportunity. We've got a chance to finish in the top 10 of the league. You know, if we beat Lower Breck, we go above them. So, you know, there's still stuff to play for. And really, hopefully, you know, my message before the game will very much be go and show everybody how much you've learned and improved over the season and finish the season off well and take some, regardless of win or lose or draw, a really positive performance to which we can build on into pre-season next year. So there's still lots to play for in terms of progressing the club and progressing the shirt. And this is just the latest opportunity and they won't get another chance for 2 months, 3 months. So make the most of it. We've kind of made sure we've had a bit of downtime and hopefully that means all the players who are in the squad on Saturday come back in fresh and raring to go. And we've not kind of like made them do stuff that has kind of drained that enthusiasm out of their bones. So we've made the most of having a week off and hopefully we see an energetic and intense performance on Saturday because of it. Lower Breck is second in the form table at the moment. You know, their second half of the season has been exceptional. They've found a way of playing that means they're really solid and they're not conceding that many goals and they've got players in forward areas that cause people problems. So we're going to have to be right at our very best just to get something out of this game. We really have to be on our mettle to make sure that we can stay in the game and then hopefully go on to dominate in the areas we believe we can get at them.
Would you class this overall as a better season than the last?
Very much so, yeah. You know, I don't think we've dropped far below mid-table very often, if at all, this season. So I think, you know, this season has been a big improvement on the pitch in terms of how we're trying to play. There's maybe a bit of inconsistency within or between games that means we haven't finished as high up the table as we feel we could have done. But there's that kind of hope and optimism, certainly in terms of the progression we've made as individually and as a group.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690-300.
There was a missed opportunity in the care of an inmate who was found dead at the Isle of Man prison. An inquest jury has ruled. The jury's returned its verdict and the story with Amy Griffiths.
According to the BBC, 28-year-old Craig Anderson was found unresponsive in his cell on the morning of the 25th of November 2022, the day after he was jailed for 5 years. The BBC has contacted the government for a response. The inquest previously heard that Mr. Anderson had been placed on the prison's self-harm risk management policy, known as Folder 5, on a number of occasions while in custody, but was not under the assessment when he died. That policy would have restricted his access to certain items and made him subject to regular observations. The inquest heard Mr. Anderson had been taken off the policy on the 18th of November, but the situation had been due for review on the 25th of November, the day he was found dead. He'd been sentenced to 5 years in prison the previous day for attacking another man with a craft knife. Douglas Courthouse heard while he'd punched a cell wall at the court following the hearing and was upset about not being able to see his children. Prison officers said he'd been calm when he returned to the Jerby facility that day. The jury concluded Mr. Anderson died by suicide while the balance of his mind was disturbed. Delivering a narrative verdict, the jury found there was a missed opportunity to render care which possibly could have made a difference when Craig's Folder 5 was not reopened or he was not placed on overnight observations on the 24th of November 2022. However, they did not find his death was contributed to by neglect. Closing the inquest, Deemster Graham Cook passed on his condolences to Mr. Anderson's family and told them it was a tragic loss. Nothing can replace your son, he added.
The Attorney General's chambers amidst charities have faced onerous delays since new registration registration rules were introduced, the Charities Registration and Regulation Act 2019 was brought in to modernise Manx legislation, but Executive Director of Legal Services Nicola Pitts says some have faced delays.
It has been onerous, and I think a lot of that, or what has contributed to that from my perspective, is the delay, honestly, because of the lack of resource. Charities have seen quite significant delays between submission of one draft and a legal officer reviewing it, sending it back to the charity's administration team, who then go back to the charity. So there's been lots of steps. One thing that we've tried to do fairly recently is to have the legal officer, myself or other legal officers working in chambers, to go back directly to the charity, to the trustee, to talk them through amendments rather than the to and fro via the administration team, which seems to have worked. And I think that that direct contact is certainly some of the feedback we've received, is that charities are missing that direct contact. If it comes to a governing instrument and there is, you know, what I would call a fatal issue with it, I would far prefer to have a trustee either in to see us or to have them on the phone to talk that through, rather than that kind of iterative yeah. email process backwards and forwards to try and get to where we need to get to. So I've definitely seen some improvement, but I think from a charity trustee perspective, I can see why it would be described as an onerous process. I think a lot of that would come from delay and not really knowing what we were asking for, but I think we are resolving that as we go.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years, this is Manx Radio.
19 minutes before 6, the motor vessel Manxman is just about to enter Douglas Harbour, and the Fastcraft docked in Liverpool some 11 minutes ago. Braddon commissioners have disputed a claim made in Tynwald that the Department of Infrastructure is paying for traffic lights outside the roundhouse. At its public meeting yesterday, the local authority said it's paying a contractor for the crossing. Our local Democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
Braddon commissioners says it's paying £620 a week for the lights and isn't getting any support from the Department of Infrastructure with the cost. The Department of Health and Social Care Minister Laurie Hooper said the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture gave the local authority help with resolving the planning issues.
Government more broadly has been very clear in its support for getting the building open by doing everything that is within our gift. DOI and DEFA assisted Braddon in getting their planning issues resolved. The DOI have loaned them, I believe, a temporary traffic lights to help resolve their planning issues. There have been discussions with the Treasury, I'm aware, around finances.
The commissioners were told by the clerk it was paying nearly £2,500 for a month of the temporary light. The board also discussed plans for a permanent set of lights, which include zigzag lines. This was revealed to cost the board between £40,000 and £80,000, nearly triple its original budget of £20,000. An update was also provided by the centre manager, who said the walking track is open, as well as the children's play area. However, a second area is not yet finished. The pharmacy, which is due to be run by Clear, has had to reapply for a dispensing licence to operate from the community centre. Cassie McAllister also confirmed a barrier installed between the car park and Palatine GP surgery had been damaged. The commissioners also discussed a consultation about empty and dilapidated properties and said there should be incentives for people to renovate these. However, it was brought up that a property in Union Mills was left empty for 11 years and didn't pay rates because the toilet was disconnected. It was agreed to have the clerk fill out the consultation on behalf of the board.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 17 minutes before 6 in corporate news, NatWest posted a less than expected 27% fall in first quarter earnings, with pre-tax operating profits falling to 1.3 billion sterling from 1.8 billion a year earlier. Analysts were forecasting a figure closer to 1.2 billion. Chief exec Paul Thwaite said NatWest Group's delivered a strong set of results for the first quarter, operating profit 1.3 billion sterling, as they remain focused on the priorities set out in February, which will help them shape the future of the bank. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. ByteDance says it has no intention of selling TikTok after US politicians passed a law to force it to sell the popular video app or be banned in America. The Chinese parent company doesn't have any plans to sell TikTok, according to a post on its official account on Toutiao, a social media platform it also owns. TikTok said earlier this week it had challenged the law, which it called unconstitutional. The statement from ByteDance came in response to an article by the technology industry website The Information that said it was exploring the potential sale of TikTok's operation in the US without the algorithm that powers it. ByteDance said the idea of selling TikTok is a false rumor.
The Stock Market Report.
brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed high. US stocks bounce back as Alphabet and Microsoft earnings revive hopes for a big tech-led rally. Gold held gains and oil was flat. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up 0.75%, 8,139. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.4% at the close, 18,166. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials up 0.33%, 38,218. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 2 percentage points, 15,445. The S&P 500 in Chicago up just over a single percentage point at 5,100. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 24.7 cents, €1 16.7 cents, and 23 South African rand, 45.5 cents in commodities. Gold's up almost a fifth of a percent at $2,336 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 0.4% at $88.27.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m, is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
The body that decides how much taxes on the Isle of Man can charge has been defending its changes. Prices were increased on Monday, and a higher tariff for overnight fares now comes into force from 11 p.m, not midnight. Graham Kerfey is the chair of the Road Traffic Licensing Committee, which sets the charges.
It was decided after a long discussion that we would bring it forward and we would see how it go. Now, if there's a lot of ante, we will review it. It's not set in stone, and that's it. It's never to be reviewed. So we'll need to give it some time just to see how it will go. Now, we are trying to encourage taxi drivers to be out more often at that time of night. We have comments from all over the place that there's no taxis available come 11 o'clock midnight to help clear the pubs and clubs when sort of people leave there. We'll trial this hour earlier for the start of tariff two, just to see if that helps to encourage more taxi drivers to come out.
How transparent has this process been? Because minutes of the RTLC meetings haven't been updated on the website since May 23, almost a year ago. Do you think people had enough time to share their views on that?
This is the point that has caused the problem. I have to take the sort of blame for that. I didn't get the press release out in time for people to consider changes that were being made to the tariffs. I'm awful sorry, that's my fault, and I apologise profusely for that.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with football, and defending Cal Cup champions Russian United are out of the competition after a 3-0 defeat at home to Corinthians in the quarterfinals of this year's event last night. Joining Corinthians in the last four will be last year's finalists Onken, who beat Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 3-2. There were also victories for Ramsey and Peel. Looking to the weekend, and the first rounds proper of both the Hospital Cup and Junior Cup take place on Saturday and Sunday respectively, with 16 teams left in both tournaments. In the Hospital Cup on Saturday, among the ties, Division 2 leaders Onken will be hoping to cause an upset away at Premier League St John's United, whilst top flight title contenders Ayr United head to Div 2 promotion hopefuls Colby. All of tomorrow's Hospital Cup games, as well as two league matches across the Premier League and Division 2, will get underway at 2:30 p.m. Elsewhere, the domestic rugby season concludes with a big day in the north of the island tomorrow afternoon for the 2024 Manx Cup finals. In a repeat of last season's finals, Vagabonds will take on Southern Nomads in the Manx Plate at 1 p.m. before the Manx Cup showdown between Douglas and Ramsey at 3 p.m. In the Cup, the two sides facing each other on Saturday met 6 days ago in the final qualifying match in the competition. Douglas won on that occasion, and whilst Manx Radio's rugby correspondent Dave Christian has them as favourites to take victory again, there were signs Ramsey are capable of causing an upset.
Douglas won 55-24, but half-time it was 31-7. The second half score to Douglas was 24-17, and that's a lot closer. If they can shore up that defence, don't get the ball anywhere near Douglas fullback Sam McCord, they're probably in with a fighting chance.
And in cycling, Mark Cavendish's Astana Kazakhstan team enjoyed a strong outing on stage 6 of the Presidential Cycling Tour of Turkey this afternoon. The squad got two riders in the top 10, with Martin Lopez in 5th and Vadim Pronsky in 10th on the mountainous route. A tougher day for the team of Cavendish's fellow Manx rider Sam Brand, though. Team Novo Nordisk could only manage a highest finish of Peter Kustor in 53rd, nearly 6.5 minutes off the leaders.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Rondell's Way, the 5:25 Loganair from Manchester came in 5 minutes early. Next, it's the 7:10 EasyJet from Liverpool, the 7:25 Loganair from Edinburgh, the 7:45 EasyJet from Gatwick, the 5:08 returning patient transfer Loganair from Liverpool, and the 9:10 Loganair from London City. Outbound, 6:00 Loganair to Liverpool, showing on time. It's the 7:40 EasyJet return to Liverpool, the 5:08 Loganair to Edinburgh, and the 8:15 EasyJet returning to London Gatwick. On the roads, the Manx Classic Road Race has got a closure tomorrow. Watch out, a stretch of the mountain roads closed from Ramsey, just north of the bungalow, from 9 till 6 tomorrow. And on Monday, there's preparation for TT work as well, and the roads closing between the bungalow and the Craig from 6:00 Monday morning till 10 Tuesday night. Temporary lights on Balafton Manor Hill near the Cool Ferran Junction for resurfacing. Temporary lights on Sandygate Road for work on the pavements. And temporary lights on Vicarage Road 2 at Stevenson's Way roundabout for water main replacement. Part of the old Castletown Road's closed between Port Sodrick, Glen Road and Marine Drive for carriageway repairs. Brighton Terrace is closed between Mount Bradder and Trinity Church by the Rosemount Pub in Upper Douglas for gas main replacement work. Hillside Avenue to Circular Road still closed. Part of Switzerland Road's closed till November for building work. Face closures on Ballachill Ferrick Road for water main work. Starvey Road's got some closures for water main work, and the Ciaran Drogheda Road in Andrust has closed in phases for water main work.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Fast Amai, thanks for joining Manx Radio this evening. Some of the finest of Manx arts are going to be on show for the next 7 days from tomorrow morning. The Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival, The Guild, as it's commonly known, returns for its 132nd year. Chair of the festival is Anne Clark.
The most popular class seems to be the songs from the musicals for juniors. There are 61 in that from age 8 to 13, and I'm sure they will all be brilliant. So that is on Saturday afternoon. We have introduced a few new classes which haven't altogether taken off, but the traditional ones go on and on, so I think we've got the recipe right. I like the dancing. That's come on tremendously. On Sunday, there's dancing all day, ballet, tap, modern dancing, all sorts of stuff. Gymnastics, they're flinging themselves about. It's incredible. And then on Sunday evening, the brass bands, which is very popular, and it's absolutely lovely. And this year, in St. Thomas's, on Sunday afternoon and evening, we've got the oratorio and organ classes under the giant illuminated hanging earth. They're not letting the public in at this time, at our times. You can get in with your guild ticket or pay on the door for a fiver. But I think to sit there and listen to wonderful music and wonderful organ music under that globe is going to be fantastic. Also, you can gaze at the, while you're looking at the globe, you can gaze at the John Miller Nichols murals and all the lovely carvings and really chill out for an hour or so.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
A campaign's been launched hoping to bring Sarah's Law to the Isle of Man. Last month, the Manx government switched on new sex offences legislation, which brought the island more in line with the UK. But Sarah's Law wasn't a part of those changes. Kimberly Parker started the campaign.
Sarah's Law, what it does, you can call the police. It allows you to ring the police if you are concerned about an individual that your child may be engaging with or lives near the park, is acting suspicious, and they'll be able to tell you if this person is a paedophile. So it helps bring a bit of closure to parents and carers and others, I would think. But now, us mothers and fathers, carers, etc., we're standing up to it. I've made a page on Facebook called Sarah's Law, Isle of Man. I've made a petition on change.org for everyone to sign to hopefully help get Sarah's Law brought to the island. I also have personal experience. I won't go into detail from what happened to me as a child because it could be quite triggering, but it was something that could have been prevented if this law was brought in, I think. So next steps are I'm going to approach MHKs, hopefully get it taken to Tynwald and try my hardest and do my damnedest to try and get this law on our island.
Government figures show more than 3,000 new jobs have been created on the Isle of Man since the start of the current administration, including a net gain of almost 1,400 in the public sector. But some sectors have seen numbers of roles decrease. Here's Sean Cowper.
Responding to a written Tynwald question from Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has revealed there were just under 55,000 jobs on the Isle of Man as of December last year, up from 51,300 in September 2021. The increase is made up of 1,919 roles in the private sector and 1,359 positions within government-run services. Almost 700 of the new roles are in medical and health sectors, while education is up by almost 900, but public administration, including central government and statutory bodies, has seen a 234 job reduction. In the private sector, food and drink manufacturing has seen the biggest reduction, with a drop of 464 jobs, while insurance is down 313. Some areas have seen big rises, though, such as catering and entertainment and financial services. Mr. Cannon's response states these changes have been recorded within the tax system and do not necessarily relate to full-time positions. He also highlights that some businesses will have been reclassified into different economic sectors during this time, which he says can lead to large swings in job numbers among some sectors.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to the newsreader Chanel Suku, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, sports editor Rob Pritchard's here with Friday's Sport. Greatest hits for Mike Reynolds at 6:30. Sweet and Swing with Howie Kane at 9. Have a great weekend. Update returns on Monday at 5:30.
WIN.